Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so many wonderful things to say to his people. He loves us and he's going forward with all of his wonderful plans. All those who seek to follow him, he's going forward. In all of his plans for your life, he's going forward. And you're going to love it. Everything the Lord does is well thought out, well planned, well organized. And he's going forward. Now, as we obey the Lord, now we've been talking about the anointing and how to handle holy things. We dealt with Cain jealousy, which exists. You know, wolves. There are many wolves out there. And there are some sheep that get involved with, sometimes people will get caught off guard and they're getting pride and act on it, and sometimes people fight it. The wisest people fight it. The most loving people resist it. But the temptation to be like Cain against other anointed people, which is dangerous and inappropriate and unproductive. But God is moving forward. And it's time for us to catch on, just like in the storm when Jesus was sleeping on the boat. They woke him up. "Master, don't you care that we're going to die?" they said. And he rebuked the storm. He acted like he wanted them to do it. The Lord wants us to catch on. He's going forward in life. And I know that he desires for us to catch on and join him in his character. You don't have to do something out of character. David did this. David didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. He was anointed to be king. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. We have the Holy Spirit within. And then we were redeemed. He was operating in the Old Testament covenant. If he sinned, he had to go to the priest and do a sacrifice, which he would do. And he had to observe all the law and do all the rituals that the law required to be clean again. But when God delivered Saul into his hand, he didn't touch God's anointing. He cut a piece of his cloth off, of his robe off, and showed it to him. Showed him that God delivered him to his hand, but he would not kill him. Because he was not an opportunist. David didn't operate in the pride that Saul was operating in Cain jealousy. He tried to kill David three times. Well, more than three times. And he desired to kill him. And tried to get Jonathan in on it. His heart was full of jealousy and envy. And he had turned from the Lord over it. And it started when he started looking at the people. See, when you look at something other than God, and other things are bigger than God to you, that's when people get off track. And they get in disobedience. God had to fire him. This represents what God did to Lucifer. God fired him and raised up Adam. And then Adam chose to follow Satan. And then Jesus came. He's the second Adam. And he defeated Satan for our sake. Now we got to get on board with God and leave all the worldly things behind us. We got to go with him. Go forward. You don't have to do anything worldly to gain any kind of advantage spiritually. God can't use worldly activity. And he's not. He don't want it in his kingdom. Everybody that use worldly tactics, you're going to have failure in those areas. Notable failure. If you continue in pride and won't repent, you're going to have notable failure. Because he's going to make a statement that he don't include this in his activity. This is man's doing, not his. See, people will look up to you and they eat everything in soup. When they see an anointed person do something, they think everything they do is all right. But everything an anointed person do is not all right. Only the things of God, only the word of God. But the worldly activity is not of God. And God can't sanction it. It's not part of his plan. God's going forward with his plan. But to everyone who obeys him, that's where your finances come from. That's where your spiritual wealth that gets on your life comes from. That's why if his word abide in you and you abide in him, which is obedience, that's just obedience. You can ask what you will and it will be done for you. Why? Spiritual wealth is mounting up on your life because you sought the Lord. You put him first. You repented and went forward with God. Spiritual wealth don't come from people giving to your ministry. The reason people help you in ministry and donate and give money and pay tithes in ministry, they're responding to the spiritual wealth that's on your life. And God is honoring you. Some ministries take more than just what one person can do. God has several types. Don't be ashamed of how God give you to do yours. In my ministry, I work because people don't give into it. They welcome to, but they don't. But I'll fix their cars and I can fund the ministry. And I knew it would have to be that way. That's another story. But I like what God has given me to do. And I believe in what I'm doing. Paul had to make tents sometimes. That's how he met Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. And they got saved and helped him in the ministry. And then he had to do it both ways. He had to work. See, Gentiles, they were not accustomed to paying tithes in church. You didn't see Paul writing to them about tithes. Only the Hebrews were accustomed to giving to God. That's why they're so wealthy. They've been doing it for millennials. They've been paying tithes since Moses' days. And their spiritual wealth gets on your life. Even though they were in disobedience, they had that right. Even the old Pharisees, they tithed mint and rue. They tithed everything that came their way. Even though they were treacherous, they did that. And when spiritual wealth gets on your life, it comes from obedience. The more you obey God, the more spiritual wealth gets on your life. And the spiritual wealth can be varied. But as we go forward with God, we're putting things in motion. Now, if daily good behavior and obedience to God put spiritual wealth on your life, imagine what the anointing does when you handle the holy things the proper way. If you keep doing it and never trust the world somewhere, you will have pure wealth, untainted wealth, durable riches is what the Proverbs calls them. Some people are losing the spiritual wealth that they've gained because they've gotten off on a tangent and they have not continued to follow the Lord first. If God can stay in first place in your eyes and you do whatever he say and receive what all the word that he give you and not wrestle against it like most people do. You know, I used to pay tithes as a certain percent. And I was watching one of the ministers on TV. And he started giving the Lord the amount. He said, "Lord, tell me what am I going to write the check for?" And the Lord would give him an amount and he'd write the check. I said, "Now that's better." Sometimes you can catch on and go forward with God and you can do better. First of all, I have to make money, and you know, that's the first step. I have to give in order to give. Then I ask the Lord, "Okay, Lord, what are we doing?" And he give me an amount, I write the check, and I'm happy. And I have to be obedient. Sometimes I don't charge enough for my work. And I've been working on that. The Lord considers everything, and I don't. I'm just a man learning my way, learning everything. But I started relying on the Lord in the way I build people. Because I never wanted to be the guy that cheated people and or take advantage of people. Scott Webb said once that a good business deal leave both parties better off. And that's what I try to do. And if I had my way, I would give them a little more. But God doesn't want me to do it. He wants me to charge a fair amount. To me, too. And so out of all the trouble I've given God, that's where I've been the most disobedient. And not charging enough. But I would rather not charge enough than to charge too much. I love people. Now, you know, God is patient with me because He taught me to love people, but you know, men always go overboard. We're unbalanced sometimes. And the only way to heal is to admit what you're doing wrong. See, if you hide your weaknesses, then it's harder to get them overcome. But when you share with other people what you're trying to do and get them to pray with you and talk to them about it, you can receive better logic, better wisdom. You know, I rebuild engines. And the dealerships charge 2 to 3 times as much as I do. And, you know, I really don't charge enough. I have to charge more. In that area, I have to get on board with God. Sometimes you just got to make life adjustments. Are you going to live in a stalemate till you start obeying Him? It's not fair to your family if you don't charge enough. It's not fair to your ministry. People are counting on you. You know, in my case, people who receive these words, you know, some people, they can't give me an offering. I want them to receive the word. They'll develop and God, they'll be a blessing to other people somewhere else, which is fine. You know, when some ministers, they still look at, they think like a businessman. Well, I'm not getting that much feedback, so I'm just going to cancel the whole program. Well, there are thousands of people out there that's not going to send you a dime. Some of them are barely making it. Some of them don't even have a job. But they got a soul that needs saving. And I go to bat for people that can't pay me back. God bless me to be in a position to work and earn a living and be a blessing to people. And some people won't desire that. And they may be in a country where people won't, they hate Christians and persecute them. But if they can hear my broadcast and receive God's word, I don't mind. I want them to go forward. I wish I could send them some money. And they're going to bat for the people that they can help. But obedience to God is where your real spiritual wealth comes from. It's kind of like when I say, work as unto God. Don't work as unto men. Like Paul said. Like Peter taught, unfeigned love in 1 Peter. Do good to those that trouble you, that don't do you right. And that was slavery in those days because they had to work their debts off. So to the masters, he said, be good and kind, unfeigned love, even to those who are froward, the mean masters, not just the good ones. And when I tell people that, they say, well, they're not going to give me a raise. They don't keep their promise. They're not going to promote me. And they might not, but God will. If you do right by them, God will do right. He'll cause you to get it somewhere else if He has to. You may not see it on this job, and then you might. That boss might retire and a new one will come and promote you like you're supposed to be promoted. Or God may close that door altogether and open a greater door, and you might make double. See, God thinks of everything. He thinks of everything. And he's got your back too. He sees what you don't. You have to learn to trust Him. Some people are married to treacherous people that will, you know, they use the court systems, child support, and they will set you up and leave after you've gotten your raise or whatever. But God knows what's in the brew. He knows what's going on. I hate talking like this, but people, enemy has plots against people and they can't see it. Let's say God promotes you now and you get more money now. Then when they take you to court, now you got to pay a higher rate. But when he weed them out of your life, and you may go a while without the promotion, but God's got it. Just trust him. And then he'll promote you and give you back the years that the cankerworm made. Sometimes the people you care about and love, they're treacherous. And thank God for the ones that's a blessing. Some people are just a jewel of a person, like Henry Gruber would say. A precious person. And some people would, they get, the enemy give them a thought, they'll run with it. See, when people talk against divorce, they're, all right, even when Jesus talked about it, two people that's married, a man just say, hey, I'm tired of my wife, I'm going to divorce her and marry another. And that's wrong. He's the treacherous one. But there are people out there, you're doing all you can to keep the marriage going, and the other person gets, they start cheating, or they get disinterested, or they get super depressed and they just want out and they go their way. They love the world and they start lusting after the world somewhere. And every time people do that, they become an enemy against God. So they're going to hate God and they're going to hate you too. Now they don't say they hate him, they just act like they do. They might even keep going to church. God knows the heart of a person. And he's the only one that's qualified to perfectly judge it. So I have to say these things because I know that it happens. That was a lady God called her. She was, he called her to China. And she was married. Her husband wasn't saved. And he didn't want her to go. He said, if you leave, I'm going to divorce you. And she stayed with him, and then she left, and then he divorced her. And God blessed her in ministry, and he wouldn't talk to her anymore. He divorced her, and then she ended up marrying a real man. See, some people's lives are not pristine, and that's not your fault. It's because when you start drawing near to the Lord, the enemy gets busy. And he'll use what he can to hinder you. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. And that's really the way it always was. But people can slander your character. But you keep loving God and you'll go forward. Now, I have to say these things sometimes because that's how it is. Go forward with God no matter what you gain and no matter what you lose. Even in blessing, keep your eyes on him. And under attack, please keep your eyes on him. Do it God's way. Fight God's way. Don't get emotional. Don't require anything of anyone. Love people where they're at. But receive strength from the Lord and you will go forward. I happen to be out of time again. But the next time, remember, I love you. I truly do. And God loves you too. And he will be with you and guide you into all truth. The next time, be blessed. Jesus is our Lord.